You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up Monday at 7 on The Morning Show, the second half of December is a slow time in state politics, except when it isn't. Kate Archer-Kent and WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson round up some big year-end stories, from a clash over homelessness funding to a court ruling that would remove people from voter rolls. Get caught up in those stories and more Monday morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Now, according to Gallup polling, no more than 28% of Americans have been satisfied with what they pay for health care going back 20 years. The average is usually around 22% satisfaction. But creating a better version of America's healthcare system seems like an overwhelming challenge in our modern political system. Our next guest thinks it is possible, but it might not look like the plans offered by leading politicians on either side of the aisle. Dr. Peter A. Ubel is the Madge and Dennis T. McLaughlin University Professor of Business, Public Policy, and Medicine at Duke University. His new book is called Sick to Debt: How Smarter Markets Lead to Better Care. Dr. Ubel, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks. Please call me Peter.
Well, Peter, before we get to some of your ideas about improving our healthcare system, can you highlight a couple of the things that you see not working? You spent a lot of time on that in the book. Give us a couple of the lowlights.
Oh, wow. Let's start low. Okay. We are exposing people to more and more out-of-pocket costs even after they've found an insurance plan. So it used to be that once you had insurance, you had pretty robust coverage, and so you could then decide what medical care you needed for your various ailments. Now, you get sick, and you not, despite having insurance, you end up with all kinds of surprise expenses, made worse by the fact that no one tells you the price in advance. And that is a bad combination that leads people really uninformed about the consequences of their medical decisions.
And you point toward some of the solutions offered in the political system. You've got problems with a couple from the liberal and conservative sides. Let's start with the idea of, you know, whether we call it a Medicare for all or single payer. You see some flaws in the idea that everybody is covered for whatever they need.
Oh, yeah. So just I think Medicare for all and single payer are two different ideas, mm-hmm. because Medicare for all could mean everyone gets Medicare through whatever private plan they choose. So, but in either case, what you're asking about is if you had super robust coverage, whether it's private insurance or the government, where all your medical expenses were taken care of with little or no out-of-pocket costs, that's great in terms of not burdening an individual patient with their healthcare expenses, but it also means a lot of us will demand more care than we need, and we'll actually not worry at all about the price of that MRI for the shoulder we tweaked last weekend. And it will lead to too much spending. And so maybe as an individual patient, you won't be bankrupt by that next medical bill, but the country will be bankrupt by healthcare expenses.
On the other side, we see calls for a more strictly market-based approach. We all become healthcare consumers and shoppers, and that our collective wisdom will drive costs down. You don't necessarily buy that either.
No, and of course it starts off with being cruel. At an extreme, there are countries now where people only get medical care they can pay for. And so if you need life-saving heart surgery, you either pony up or you die. And that's cruel. But even if you have a system where a lot of the expense is covered but 20% is on you, people end up avoiding necessary care. They also end up bankrupt. Right now, you see when somebody comes up with a cancer diagnosis in the United States, they have about a 2- or 3-fold risk, elevated risk of individual bankruptcy. So people are losing their life savings from illnesses that that lead to all these extra costs.
Talk about the difficulties in shopping for healthcare, whatever the system, whether I'm paying completely out of pocket or 10 or 20% out of pocket. What are the challenges that face us as healthcare consumers when we're trying to see what the best deal is going to be for us?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. One of the things I try to do in the book is bring policy to the bedside. And I actually been very lucky to have probably the most – we have looked at more doctor-patient interactions than anybody around to find out what happens when they talk about costs. And you'd think when you're shopping for healthcare, there's one person for sure who would help you figure out the cost of things would be your own doctor. And we find hordes of examples of patients saying, well, how much will that new medicine cost me? Or what will that test cost? And the doctors have no idea. and they spend inordinate amounts of time trying to figure out the cost, and they can't. Or you find people then getting on the phone and calling up a hospital and saying, I need a hip replacement. How much will that cost? You have about a 10% chance of finding out the full cost in time before you receive your surgery. And then finally, they try to figure out the cost of their own insurance, and they don't understand the plans well enough to know what it'll actually cost them. They might know what the monthly premium is, but they don't know what out-of-pocket costs they'll be exposed to. So people just don't understand the price of medical care in time to inform their decisions.
Talking to Dr. Peter A. Ubel, his new book is called Sick to Debt, How Smarter Markets Lead to Better Care. You have a variety of solutions on the table here, but big picture, you say maybe a huge overhaul where we tackle everything at once isn't the best way to tackle this. Why is that?
I actually think we need to tackle a fair number of things at a time. Mm-hmm. I just don't have a magic recipe for you. I have a bunch of ingredients I throw out there. And I think we need to figure out as a society which ones to mix together and in what ratios and what we need to bake it at. But so we can't centrally plan a healthcare economy, but we can start adding in features that we know will make it better than the really kind of awful system we have right now. It starts with making those prices easier to find. Right now, your insurance company knows how much you're going to have to spend for that MRI, but it doesn't always make it easier for you to find that out. Your hospital that you go to knows how much they're going to charge for that procedure you're going to get, but they're not making it easy for you to find that out. And part of that's because both the insurance companies and the hospitals don't want other insurance companies and other hospitals to know what price they've agreed on. And so you see that the system is trying to hide that information from us. So one ingredient, I think, of an improved system is to mandate that those prices get out there and out of the dark.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. You write the same hospital, the same provider might have a different cost for a Medicaid patient. They might have negotiated a price for hip replacement with one insurance company that's low, but something else is high. But insurance company B, it's the other way around. So if you ask a hospital, what is your price? The answer might be, which price?
Right. So you don't ask what your price is. You say, what are your prices? how much do you charge for whom? And that's got to be out there. And then I think your insurance company needs to make it easy for you to pull an app up and find out, because there might be a certain price for it, but then there's the price you have to pay. And then there's the price you have to pay depending on whether you paid off your deductible or not for the year. And so all those things, we could make that right there in people's fingertips if we wanted to, but without pressure to do so from either employers or the government, it hasn't been happening.
To make it even more complicated, you write, I think under the Affordable Care Act, you wrote that a colonoscopy screening is covered. You might go in knowing you're not going to pay for the colonoscopy screening, but if they find a polyp and remove it, as doctors will often want to do, well, that might not be covered.
Yeah, so healthcare is hard to figure out prices because you start one direction and then the trajectory changes. So we can't predict everything that's going to happen. It's one of the reasons why we shouldn't make all of healthcare, of trying to control healthcare expenses, we can't put that all on patients to savvily shop our way into a affordable healthcare system because there's always going to be unexpected things. And so we need a system that, in addition to certainly putting price information out there so people can look at it, we actually need a system to make the prices rational. Because if you need the care, it should be affordable both for you and for society. And right now, instead, we have outrageous prices, 2, 3, 5, 6 times higher in the United States than in other developed countries. No way of rationalizing those prices. No way of making sure those prices reflect value. Like, how much benefit are you getting? For a quick example, my wife has advanced cancer. She gets more than $200,000 a year of medications. I'm really glad she's on those medicines, and I'm glad they're working. But at that price, If society is basically bearing the cost of this care, when if we were getting those same medications in the United Kingdom, they'd be a third as expensive.
And you're not just talking about out-of-pocket. Whoever's paying for it, that other system is paying less money, regardless of where it's coming from, for that same drug. Do I have that right?
That's right. And so I'm concerned about healthcare spending, very much so for like individual people and their wallets being emptied when they get sick. That is very disturbing, and I tell lots of stories of people who run into this problem. But I'm worried about society going bankrupt too. And So even if insurance pays for something that's really expensive, the question is, why are we letting hospitals or drug companies or device manufacturers charge that much money?
We'll get into that point in just a minute. We're talking to Dr. Peter Ubel about his new book. It's called Sick to Debt, How Smarter Markets Lead to Better Care. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you understand your insurance coverage, if any? Do you go into a doctor's office, provider's office with an idea of what something's going to cost you? Have you been surprised? What do you think, if anything, needs to change in our system? Do you have a question for our guest about the solutions he has on the table? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with physician and behavioral scientist Dr. Peter Ubel of Duke University. We're talking about America's healthcare system, how he thinks smarter markets can offer better care and better value for our dollar. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your confusions about our healthcare system, the solutions you'd like to see, your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number. Before we go to our callers, Peter, a lot of the second half of your book is talking about incentives to kind of make these prices make more sense. One example you give is in the state of California, reference pricing for procedures. It seemed really interesting. Can you talk us through how that would work?
Oh, absolutely. So let's go back to the hip replacement we just talked about a while ago that people couldn't find the price of. In California, if you were a state employee and you needed a hip replacement, you go to a hospital and one of them might charge $30,000, one might charge $50,000, but if you had a $400 copay, it was the same, no difference to you which one you went to, but to the state of California, there was a $20,000 difference. So to give people an incentive to look more closely at the lower cost providers, and believe it or not, $30,000 is low cost for this procedure, they said, we're going to give you up to $30,000 for your hip replacement should you need one. If you want to choose a provider that charges more, you can, but you will pay the difference between that and the $30,000. People dramatically changed their choices. Just as importantly, a lot of providers lowered their prices to meet that threshold.
And so what ended up happening? Did we end up seeing the overall market for hip replacements change in California after that?
It did. Again, the price changes and the choices people made changed because of it. But that was only for people who had that insurance.
Right.
They kept their prices up for people with different insurance. People respond. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Jacob on the line in Eau Claire. Jacob, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jacob?
So I can't agree with what the speaker's saying more about price transparency. And I am coming a little late. I didn't catch the beginning of your program. I remember I was listening to NPR earlier this week, and they talked about how there's billions of unpaid hospital bills in Wisconsin. And so then one thing that comes to mind is that then other consumers and insurance companies have to pick up the tab for that. But then I'm a huge proponent for price transparency. It should be easy to find how much things cost for everyone at hospitals. And it's the same thing with drug prices. It's actually illegal to negotiate drug prices in the United States.
Yeah, legal for Medicare, too. That's correct.
Right. Jacob, thanks for the call. A lot there. Let's talk about those drug prices. That is another thing you tackle in the book, Peter. Keeping those costs down and keeping, as our caller was saying, that transparency or getting that transparency.
Yeah, so I completely agree with what Jacob was saying. And I think we need to get price information out there for people, but I also, and we need to battle what the prices actually are. But there are going to be times where there's a really good medicine that's still really expensive. And so I think the third thing we need to do is make sure that your out-of-pocket costs are not high when that's a really important medication or treatment for you to get. And so we need to have smarter insurance that doesn't just charge you more if something's more expensive, because if that more expensive thing is really valuable, we should pay generously for it. And maybe instead, when something's not that expensive but doesn't really do you much good, you should pay most of the cost of that. So we need smarter insurance where when the value of medical care is high, your out-of-pocket costs are low. When you benefit a lot from healthcare interventions, you shouldn't have to pay much for them.
Thanks for the call, Jacob. We'll go to Steve now with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have a question about, you know, what I've heard at seminars I've been to on different costing structures for medical costs and such is really the iron triangle, that it doesn't really matter what the structure you have to pay for it. The iron triangle will still be in place. And what that means is it's a combination of access, quality, and cost. You can't push on one without impacting the other. I want to know what the guest thoughts are on that. And then additionally, on drug costs in other countries, it's my understanding that a lot of manufacturers will offer their drugs in other countries, and those countries will set the price and say, if you don't set the price at this, we'll allow someone else to generically manufacture that drug. So they're kind of hamstrung and have to offer that price. Otherwise, they're kind of cut out of the market. Just want to know what the guest thoughts are on those two issues.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's tackle that iron triangle, he called it there. You can't raise access and quality without raising costs.
I thought the iron triangle was a really good Steelers football team from the 70s, but I might be wrong. Yeah, so some people say when you think of the three things, access, quality, and cost, pick the two you like because you can't have all three. I think I disagree with that. We can incentivize high-quality care, but at a price that reflects the quality and benefit of that care. And in terms of access, that's just a matter of us deciding to provide insurance coverage to all Americans. And you see in Canada, they have lower costs than we do. Their quality is at least as good as we do, and they have way better access. So I do think we should not give up any of the corners of the triangle.
And Steve's second point about saying, okay, drug company, charge as much as you want for a drug, but if it's over this amount, we're going to let a competitor come in and undercut you.
Or you just won't come into our market, period. So that happens in the United Kingdom. If you don't price your product to reflect value, they just won't cover it. I think we need to go closer in that direction, and that is really hard for the pharmaceutical companies to walk away from. But I think it's something they need to realize when they're designing drugs. They need to find a way to bring them to market at a price that we can afford. And with no incentive to do that, they'll figure, I'll just make another drug, I'll call it a drug cancer drug, and I'll charge $100,000. And as long as it extends someone's life by 2 weeks, they'll pay for it. That's a weird incentive.
Thanks for that call, Steve. We're talking to Dr. Peter Ubel. His new book is out. It's called Sick to Debt, How Smarter Markets Lead to Better Care. Back to your calls now. Paul is with us in Milwaukee. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to touch upon being 55 years old now. In the past 5 years, I've been invited to have tests such as colonoscopies before any fecal tests because I check off one box. I'm over 50. And, you know, the physician's assistant there or the assistant doesn't ask about your lifestyle, alcohol use, red meat. It's just you tick off this box and something like a colonoscopy can be the goose that laid the golden egg because it's priced by the AMA. I'm not knocking it. It's a great test. But my approach has been in the past 5 years, use the European-based model of medicine, wherever you can find it on the web, and go from there, just because there are smarter ways to approach what you may need done. And, you know, I'm not second-guessing the doctors, but at the same time, there are other options out there that may cost less or just be a better match for you medically.
Paul, what do you Paul, thanks for the call. Peter, what do you think?
I think it's a great point, Paul. In colon cancer screening is one of the things that under Obamacare you don't have copays for, but that doesn't mean it has to be a colonoscopy. It could be, like you said, the stool testing. It can be this thing called a flexible sigmoidoscopy. So there's lots of ways to screen, and one person might prefer one might prefer another. We should be given that choice.
Thanks for the call, Paul. In our last few minutes, Peter, see, a congressional committee brought you in and said, okay, what are the first few things, if we can get bipartisan agreement, we should do to start moving the needle in the right direction? What's at the top of your list for them?
We've discussed a lot of them, and one reason I'm hopeful is that you're already seeing a lot of work to try to bring prices out of the dark, things like that. There's a surprise billing bill that I think it ran into trouble today, but there was bipartisan support. And I think a lot of these things are different than Medicare for All, which I think I can't imagine coming into law. Here you can come up with plans that insurance companies aren't threatened by. And so I do think price transparency is something. Why wouldn't a Republican like that? Why wouldn't a Democrat like that? That feels pretty nonpartisan. I think trying to incentivize insurance companies to have smarter designs that protect people from high out-of-pocket costs when they need when it's necessary medical care, really hard to think who would be against that. And so I think these kinds of ideas, really, we have hope for them, and they're very different than overhauling the entire system, abandoning private insurance completely, going to a completely free market and abandoning Obamacare. I don't think either of those are the way to go.
And very briefly, for someone out there who has to pay at least some out-of-pocket, any quick thoughts for them in the system we're living in now?
Good luck. It is be persistent. Don't take "I don't know" for an answer.
Good place to leave it.
Find out. Yeah, thank you.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Go Vikings. Oh, sorry. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, can we profanity dump that? I don't think so. Thanks a lot. It's been very interesting, Peter. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Peter Ubel, professor of business, public policy, and medicine at Duke University. We talked to him today about his ideas for improving America's healthcare system. That's in his new book. It's called Sick to Debt: How Smarter Markets Lead to Better Care. Coming up Monday on Central Time, as the U.S. Senate awaits articles of impeachment, a conservative attorney makes the case that this move toward impeachment actually subverts the intent of the Constitution. Bad dreams may be good for you, up to a point. A sleep researcher here in Wisconsin shares some of the latest science on the mysterious world of dreams and how we might actually be rehearsing real-life situations while we sleep. Plus, we'll meet a Wisconsin fan of Christmas lights and find out how you can control the display. You could turn the lights on and off by accessing them online. Plus, we'll look at a new Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism report on hospitals here in Wisconsin and access to various kinds of treatment. That and more coming up Monday on Central Time.